heart is aglow. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck.
Good morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Most certainly is a beautiful day, as most days are here in Paradise in Pensacola. Joining us now by phone, we have the mayor of Pensacola, Grover Robinson. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
It is a beautiful day. I'm standing out here looking out across the airport. It is a beautiful day and one we need to be thankful for. So very happy. Just another day in Paradise. So glad to go live it. And by the way, before we get started, I mean, now it's been corroborated by a second source at the Independent that potentially Andrew McKay for mayor. So that's what I'm hearing for 2022.
Yeah, you hear wrong, unless you have plans to annex my neighborhood. By the way, you know, when you originally said that, I took it as a compliment. And then I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I'm like, so this is a job that you dislike so much you don't want to run for re-election, but here you are putting me up for it. Are you trying to tell me you don't like me very much? Is it?
My subconscious was telling me that I was going to see Andrew McKay that morning as I was trying to get my snooze sleep in, and you were on top of mine. I was like, Andrew McKay's going to run for mayor. All right, that sounds good.
Nope. Also, I think I'd be terrible at the job, so I'm not an administrator for sure. Let's talk about some of the things. Actually, there's kind of a cool thing coming up tomorrow night, and in my own inability to decipher some of the legal speak that goes into these city agendas, I hadn't realized this was on the agenda, but it's second reading for the tiny homes ordinance, right?
That is correct. It's Regulation Q. It's going to allow us to build tiny homes. It's been done by the state. We have a chance to adopt it. The county adopted it probably in December, right before it came in. It came on the state books in the 1st of January. We were working a little bit through it, so we finally brought it in last in March. We approved it for the first hearing, and now it's for the second hearing. And we're hoping we're going to get some tiny homes built once that ordinance gets done. We don't think tiny homes is going to be the only solution. But we believe the solution is going to have to be big enough on affordability that we look at everything. And we think tiny homes certainly have a place to play when we look at affordability in the city of Pensacola.
Do you anticipate that this will be single tiny homes on single small lots, or will this be like tiny home communities? And do you have any early idea of where people might expect to see these once they become legal?
I certainly think there's the potential. There's always been the potential with accelerated dwellings to do it. I think it would just accelerate some of that possibility. So it could happen, probably not standalone tiny homes, because that would kind of defeat the purpose and
right.
The cost of land. But I think you could see them pop up as accelerated dwelling units in large lot properties, probably more likely in the East and North Hill and more traditional neighborhoods that have larger lot size, even probably East Pensacola Heights might have one of these, where I think you'll see more of the second option you've talked about, where we have commercially zoned, which allow for a little bit higher density. The challenges of most of our density units that are residential neighborhoods aren't going to allow you to create more than a couple of spots. So I think it's going to be some of those commercial areas that also can, since the zoning is cumulative, they can come in with probably, 25 units an acre. So a half acre, you could do 12. I think that is likely to happen, a little bit of both. But we've identified a number of spots that could take both. And there is a large portion of the city, like I said, more in the older sections than the commercial sections that have an open area for it. But, I think it's really going to depend on seeing how the first ones get done and how they're received. But I do believe there's absolutely a possibility, and we'll see what happens as we go forward.
All right. Very good. One of the things I've been kind of meaning to ask you about this for a little while now, and I guess, I've got a moment at the right now. It seems like we're seeing a lot of property demolition going on around even in the city, and even sometimes like right on the periphery of the city. I'm thinking about that that lot on the southeast corner of Tippin and Creighton that went away recently. I'm thinking about the airport and Davis intersection, the southwest corner there. That stuff all went away. I was just driving up Over there on Garden at the old school property off Spring Street. That's all been taken away. I mean, that's been away for a little while, but that's all cleared. It seems like we're seeing more clearing and demolition going on. Is this a trend? Is this something the city is advocating for? What do you make of that? You're in real estate.
Well,
what do you make of this?
I make of it as individual property owners are seeing the opportunity for the land values to exceed what was on the property before the time for reuse, which is always a good thing. I mean, you're going to hit moments of reuse, and until it becomes economically viable to do so, I think what you're seeing is a number of things that happened with property prices. I do think that's anticipating something going forward. Some of those properties would be perfect for multifamily residential. Some of them would be perfect for new commercial development. It really depends on the part, but I think much of what you're seeing that for is simply that's an explanation of the price of land. And if the price of land has gone up, that the old use is no longer even it's worth taking it down and just starting it over because the value of the land is that valuable.
Where are we at, by the way, on that Spring and Garden development? I know it had been kind of on pause to see if we can get a better design that would fit everybody's interest, but where are we at on that?
I think there are some people that are continuing to look at that. I think there are multifamily there may be multifamily developers that decide it's easier to go work on a piece of private property than it is with the government. I think things will happen. I think the biggest thing is getting to the market first. I think that was a big part of why Silver Hills left with us. I think two things. One, the original deal we brought to the city was a really good deal for us.
By the way, for people who aren't familiar, the Silver Hills deal was for that lots 4 and 5 on the Community Maritime Park that would have been multifamily mixed use, including a parking garage.
Correct.
Go ahead. Just for people who don't know.
Correct.
Go ahead.
And I think as they looked at that, the other thing was they wanted to move fast to get to market because they believe that is going to be the first person that gets their multifamily up that will do the best.
Yeah.
There are multiple. I mean, we've been talking. I've had people come in off private properties. They just come in and talk to me about stuff. So we have seen a number of potential development sites that are private property in the downtown area. Something is going to happen in the very near future. I think we're going to see somebody file a permit and go. Is it that one? Is it another one? I can't really. That'll depend on sort of what happens with the market. But there is a buzz about somebody coming out of the ground with something. And I think much as Silver Hills' issue was they just did not feel like moving with the city was going to move fast enough to what they do.
It's definitely been a long time coming, long predating even me being here in Pensacola. We're talking to Mayor Grover Robinson. I know typically when it comes to preemption by the state, you're against it as a local official. You'd like to have local control. I did want to ask your opinion, though, because the governor recently did a preemption that didn't really get talked about in that way when he prohibited businesses or governmental organizations from requiring vaccine passports or proof of vaccination for use of services or access to businesses. As a preemption, is this one that you're okay with? Did you have any intention of, having anything like that in the city of Pensacola?
We were certainly not doing that. That was not something we were thinking about in Pensacola. Were other places doing that? I have no idea. I mean, that's why he has a huge amount of property and people to look at. So I don't think Pensacola wasn't what was causing that to look. That was not something we were going to be doing.
All right, very good. So that's not one that bothered you, which it didn't bother me either. I had kind of almost had to catch myself after the fact saying, oh, that's a preemption. I hadn't caught it. Speaking of the port preemption bill, did we wind up getting taken off the list? Is that still affecting us?
Yes, we wound up getting out of it as good as we could get out of it. It's now the preemption is fairly well only attached to dealing with cruise ships. So if a cruise ship wants to come to Pensacola, we can't block it. Listen, throw us in that one. We'd love a cruise ship to come here. So, I don't think that was something we were ever gonna preempt. Obviously, that was what was happening in Key West, which is what started this whole process. But for the most part, two things I want to say about that. I really want to thank Michelle Salzman and J.R. Williamson. They stepped up in saying, you know, I mean, taking some votes against where their leadership was to simply say, hey, you got to help Port of Pensacola get out of this bill because it's not intended for them. They shouldn't be wrapped up in it. And so really appreciate what they did in that process. Very good thing all the way around. In their committees, they helped us. My understanding from Amy Miller, also want to give a huge thank you to her. She's been over there working diligently on this. And my understanding is we've gotten carved out about as good as we can go. And it's only related to cruise ships. So from our standpoint, we would love a cruise ship to come here. So we have no further issue one way or the other with what's out there and what's being proposed.
All right, very good. Mayor Grover Robinson joins us every single Wednesday at about this time. Mr. Mayor, look forward to talking to you again Monday at the press conference. Don't have any more dreams about me, if you please, especially not putting me into elected office.
Hey, if you're running, I think the other part that calls that is Dave Hoskins called me, I was thinking, I was like, hey, Dave, we could get Andrew to run for mayor.
Dave, and for those who don't know, Dave is our owner, and I can understand that. On your brain, especially with Candy leaving Cat Country, leaving the air duties there, so I appreciate that. Mayor, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much for the time.
You take care.